Can you recall a time when you've truly experienced wonder? Some years ago, in some kind of rapturous mistake, the deer did not run away, but walked toward me and touched my hands. And I have been forever since separated from my old, comfortable life of experience and deduction. I have been ever since exalted. Those beautiful lines are from Mary Oliver's poem, Pine Woods. Maybe you have felt wonder inspired by music, maybe watching the Olympics and amazement at what the human body can do in skating or dance. Maybe it's a view from the misty mountaintop or holding a newborn baby. Maybe it was the profound silence of the eclipse or seeing the supermoon glow on the horizon. John Ciardi wrote once that we shouldn't ask, what does a poem mean? We should ask, how does a poem mean? What he means by that is we can't arrive at a concrete definition of a poem. We can try to explain it, but maybe we will then miss the point of the experience. The experience of wonder will help illuminate our scripture for today on the Transfiguration. Perhaps this story of Jesus changing into white brilliance, maybe it's simply meant to dazzle us. Can we read it not to define the meaning, but to have an experience of glory? We can become overwhelmed in our lives by suffering, by fears, busyness, disappointments, and grief. We can be so overwhelmed that we move through the hours and the days, through our work and relationships and our homes, without even noticing all the wonder around us. As we grow from childhood to adulthood, we often lose the sense of wonder. I remember a man who went to his child's kindergarten class and saw a list on the blackboard of the things that the children said they wanted to learn that year. Most of the statements were things like behave, learn to sit still, follow the rules, listen to the teacher. One child said, I want to know why the ocean shines like fire. Wow, that is a kid with a sense of wonder. We can say a lot about the Transfiguration. We can try to explain and define what happened. But if there was ever a wow moment in Jesus' ministry, that was it. Now, a favorite theme in the Gospel of Mark is following the way of Jesus. And we heard this morning the voice from the cloud that says, this is my beloved son, listen to him. Maybe it's those moments of wonder that enable us to listen to what God is saying, to be recalled back to the way. Isn't that partly why we show up on Sunday? We come together to listen, to be called back on track. On a few occasions, I've had the experience of snorkeling. Have you done that before? It's nothing short of miraculous to put on the snorkel mask, to look into the water, and just below the surface, there is a brilliant, amazing, busy life happening right there, not visible until you look underneath. So I was in Hawaii, and with six people, we were taken on a boat to a quiet cove, and we peeled on wetsuits. It's sort of the opposite of peeling a banana. You have to peel it on. And then we put on our fins and our snorkel masks, and we stepped off the boat with our finned feet, holding on to the mast so it doesn't fly off when you fall into the water. One by one, we dropped into those turquoise waters. And because the seawater is so, salt water is so buoyant, it's really simple to just float and watch the fish pass by. Well, while we were doing this, I saw this blue creature with wings that appeared to be flying in the water. And the wingspan might have been 6 to 8 feet wide. It was a manta ray. No one prepared us for seeing a manta ray. And while I'm just watching, fascinated, I was also a little afraid. Because I remember, okay, stingrays, don't they sting? Can't they kill you? And so there was this beauty and wildness. And I didn't know at the time that stingrays can sting, but manta rays, they're harmless. They don't have a stinger. But I didn't know that. And all of a sudden, the manta was swimming towards me really fast. I turned around and started to swim as fast as I could, not knowing that right behind me was a sea turtle, and I almost ran into it. Well, I still, as I tell the story, think of that feeling of wonder that we are not alone. There is the oneness. And the only response I can think of is to praise God for the beauty and the wonder and the reminder of beauty and glory and mystery. What brings a sense of wonder to you? How do we wade through the grief, the fears, the busyness, the static of the news? How do we open ourselves to wonder? That is an invitation on Transfiguration Sunday. Now, this story of Transfiguration is in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it recalls the Old Testament story of Moses' encounter with God that leaves his face shining with glory, visible to others. It's also similar to the story of Elijah, who, without dying first, is taken by chariot into heaven. These stories defy explanation. Transfiguration marks a thin place in between the shining star of Epiphany and Lent, which begins this Wednesday. Lent, where we begin the journey towards the cross, through that path of the worst that humanity can dish out, the crucifixion of the innocent. In Transfiguration, it's as if the gospel is saying, we're now making a turn toward the cross. We are descending into the valley of the shadow of death. But fear not. Keep this astonishing, mysterious mountaintop story in mind as we go. Carry it like a torch. It can help show the way because it gives us a glimpse of where all of this is heading. Take heart. Listen to him. That is, continue to trust Jesus. Follow Jesus' footsteps. Even though the path ahead seems dark and dangerous and full of perils, shimmering beauty awaits on the other side of the cross. We are not alone in this journey. We showed up today, strangers, friends, and family, and now we're all together with the experience of possibility of wonder together. I'm going to close this sermon with a poem that I wrote. Following the poem, we'll have collective silence. When do you get to do that ever else together? And before I read, I invite you for take a moment to look around at this beautiful sanctuary, to look at the people around, I invite you to close your eyes, to breathe in the beauty, to feel the presence of love that we have opened ourselves to in this room. And in these moments, maybe this is the message to hear. Look for those moments where God knocks our socks off. Soak in the wow of the moment. See God's glory. Maybe even fall to our knees with wonder and give thanks and praise. In doing so, we will find our way together. How to watch a rainbow. If you move too fast, or if your eyes are trained to a screen, or if you fail to walk out, you might miss the way the sunlight sifts golden through the gray mist and the magic of brilliance brushing her watercolor wand in strokes of purple, blue, green, yellow, orange, and red. It takes a few seconds for your mind to recognize what your heart already knows. The watery bow fades in and out like a radio playing the song you long to hear. That is when you most need to give your attention. Look closely. See the vibrancy. Let that color stun you to stillness. Listen as the full arc appears. Weep with hope. Keep your eyes trained on it through thin and thick. Breathe it in and let the wild, fresh scent of it feed you joy. Let your imagination slide over the arc and into your urgent longing. Believe it. You were made to see the rainbow, to take in the promise, to be fully who you are. The rainbow is for you. The rainbow is for us.